fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kmelly in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Part of our mission, of course, cover the news that matters to each and every person living in Idaho and America. I know that's a lofty goal, but the idea of eminent domain, the idea of private property, the idea of controlling your own destiny, certainly not unique to Idaho, not unique to America, and that's what we'll be discussing today. Joining us is Sandy Smith. She's co-owner of a property under threat from the city of Eagle. Her attorney, Chad Lamer, is with us. Folks, good to have you with us.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
So this is an issue that, thanks to my semi-recent acquisition of Mrs. Miller, that I'm familiar with, we've covered it, this roundabout in Eagle, this big issue in Eagle. First of all, you had ACHD wanting a roundabout. Then we had the Eagle City Council wanting one. Then we had them on. Then the people organized against it. But now this issue of eminent domain, every person that owns property, every person that has a dream of property ownership scares them, where the government can come in and take your land, appears to be about to happen, could happen, allegedly happened in Eagle. So, first of all, let's give us some background of this of what's going on.
Well,
Chad, why don't you take the floor?
More than happy to, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what we have here is we have a property owner that owns property at the corner of Eagle and State, and everybody's familiar with it. It's a former gas station.
The historic former gas station, yes.
Yes,
former. I pass it when I go to Shaw's, yes.
So everyone's seen it. They know what property we're dealing with. And within the city of Eagle, the city has created a urban corporation. It's an urban redevelopment authority. And we call them URAs for short. And the URA has certain powers, and one of those powers is the ability to use eminent domain should they find that a property is deteriorating, or the term of art is blight. And that's really what we're faced with here today, is we're faced with a URA that wants to exercise its eminent domain power to take a property that it feels is blighted.
Well, and that property has been vacant for many years, and now I believe you're ready to – you've put the property up for sale, right?
Well, you know, it's the economy's improved, and we've decided it's time. We've, you know, like you said, the roundabout's supposedly a done deal again. So, you know, that kind of hung over our head for quite a while until that was resolved. So now we're moving on. The economy's improving a little bit, and we have interest in renovating the building and getting a business in there this summer. We want to get busy and get something done.
So you were just going on your merry way of being a local business owner, a proud member of the community. When did y'all hear about the possibility of this, and how would that work where this new group would come in, and would they buy your property? Do they take your property? How does that work?
Well, what happens is the URA would present an offer, and they would negotiate back and forth with the landowner. And if they couldn't reach agreement, then potentially the URA could go forward and say, we're going to file a lawsuit, and we're going to proceed with eminent domain. And so there's this cloud that hangs over the head of any property owner where they're faced with this potential to either negotiate and accept an offer they may feel is not up to value, or, you know, get their property taken by eminent domain.
Sure. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So have they talked to you about this?
Well, we've had, you know, some talks. I went in a year ago even and told them that we had a potential lessee and that we were going to move forward with renovating. And that didn't happen for different reasons. You know, some of it was part of the city and some of it was HHG.
Well, there was a big concern that has been covered extensively on this program and others that, you know, it was uncertain what was going to happen.
Right.
Whether or not it's going to be the traffic light or the roundabout, and those businesses there, as you well know, will be detrimentally impacted by that. And
right.
So to me, it would seem impossible to make any type of long-term plan until you knew what was going to happen at that intersection.
And it is now, because we, like I said, we've had a multitude of calls and interested parties, but you know, they hear the sentiment domain is hanging over our head, and they're not willing to jump into a contract when they don't know whether the government's going to come in and take it from us, you know, before they can even get the contract signed. So lessees or potential buyers, you know, they're like, hey, this is a great location. I would love to be here. This is, you know, the place to be.
Right.
But there's a sentiment domain thing hanging over our head. So we're trying to move forward. We're trying to be proactive. We're trying to be a business and get a business down there opening their doors this summer, not a potential park or something that's not going to bring revenue to the city. We're trying to, you know, make small business happen.
Well, and you take a look at that whole State Street, Old State Street, you've seen a lot of revival. You've got the new Idaho Youth Ranch Plaza in there. You've got a lot of things going on. And again, you have to wait until, you know, the economy recovers in that location. Right. Just have to drive through Eagle once. That's about the best location in the city.
Yes, it is.
So again, we have these factors impacting the decision. If all of a sudden now, not only do you have the uncertainty about the roundabout that refuses to die,
right,
but the idea that the city might jump in,
right,
that's got to scare off any potential buyers.
Right. It's a tough call. And like I said, you know, people want to know, why is this property sat here for so long? These are the issues. Traffic has been one of them. You know, ACHD's plans that have been part of the program of trying to do something with the downtown area, which, quite frankly, they've done all that they need to do. They put an intersection light in there. They went from a two-way stop to a four-way stoplight, and that's all they need to do down there. That's why the bypass was built, to move all the traffic around the downtown area. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to continue to do, is build roadways outside of the downtown area to get people where they need to go to and from work and home.
All right.
You know, Kevin, when I think about this issue and I think about the powers that the URA has, and specifically the remediation or removal of blight, you know, Sandy said, hey, we've gone out and we've tried to make improvements to the building. And if you've driven past this thing within the last few months, you've seen that those Jersey barriers have been removed, that they've gone and they've painted it. She's engaged an architect to help with renovation so that they can provide a tenant-ready suite. And she also has a commercial broker. So she has been in the market to try to get this building occupied and become a revenue generating source for the city. And we've asked the URA, we have requested that they back off their plans and just stop with this eminent domain action. And that's part of the reason why she's in the position that she is today, is they have not backed off those plans.
Well, they haven't acknowledged all the work that we have done. They haven't even acknowledged that we've, like he said, we've repainted, we've removed the barriers, we've fixed the windows, we've, you know, cleaned up the lot. And it's like, you know, are they, because even before they even said that they were going to go to eminent domain, you know, they have, all these things were done prior to them. And then we did all these things, and now they go, oh, now we're going to do eminent domain. And we're like, what are you talking about? You know, you wanted it cleaned up. We want to move forward and do a business and get this corner back into the renovation.
Sure. Let's go to the phones at 580-KIDO. We'll go to Patty in CUNA. Patty, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to share my experience. We have recently purchased a commercial property, and I won't say what town it's in. But if I knew then what I know now, would have never purchased the property. Because it's that whenever business goes in there and what you try to do, all of a sudden City Hall comes up with all these regulations that are unbelievable to deal with.
Is that in CUNA or is that somewhere else?
No, I'm not saying what town it's in, because we're still dealing with City Hall.
But, you're actually afraid to mention the town because you're repercussions?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. So
well, it must be pretty close to Eagle or in Eagle as far as I'm concerned.
When if they're going to do eminent domain, they have to pay you fair market value. I would take the money and run as fast as you can, because whether you sell it to somebody else, then they are going to have to bow down and
well, I think
do
that,
all the
Patty,
regulations.
I think that's the issue, though. She can't sell it now because who wants to go in and have the city all of a sudden take something over you just bought and say they're the boss of you?
Right. So, like I said, take the money and run. That's my advice.
From the city.
Bye-bye.
Well, all right. Bye-bye. Well okay. Patty wants to make sure that the whatever city doesn't get her. So. Yeah, where do we go from here?
Well, that's what I was just going to say, you know, take the money, run. Of course, obviously, there's, you know, their idea of what the property's worth versus and what they want to do with it versus what we want to do with it. And, you know, this is all about property rights. We should be allowed to do what we want to do with our property. And we're saying that we want to get a business in there right now, not a couple years and build a big Taj Mahal to the city. We want to do it now.
I think they have one of those in Meridian. Let's go to our friend Alma, who second day in a row is on the program. Good morning, Alma.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Me? I'm consistent.
And I am grateful for that. Thank you. Well, I wanted to issue my sincere condolences to your guest, because, you know, it seems to me that when the state of Idaho or the city or whomever decides that they want to get their paws on your property, they're able to do so with, you know, at their leisure, which is really extremely troubling to me. But I wanted to ask the attorney, and I am so sorry, I did not catch his name.
Chad.
I wanted to ask Chad something, because this, I was really intrigued by the economic development piece of this. And the reason why is because in our oil and gas bills, Title 47, Chapter 3, they 16%.
Hold on. Before we get to this, see, yeah. This is not an ordinary talk show. We have people that are very, very, very educated in the legal process, Chad. The look on your face was quite amazing there. Don't mess with Alma.
You know, anytime I hear sections of the Idaho Code quoted to me, I immediately just, my ears perk up, and it's a great day for me. So, but yeah, Alma, you mentioned, and you didn't get a finish, but I think I know where you're going is, hey, can the URA use eminent domain for economic development purposes? And the answer to that question is no. The Idaho legislature has come out and they've really done a service to property owners, and they've said, no, you cannot do that. And that's written into our code. And so, you know, that's one of the things that that we have, you know, to protect property owners here.
Well, the reason I ask that is because in this section, it basically 16% of the 1% that goes to the counties is transferred into a local economic development account that's created basically, well, quote, that is hereby created in the agency asset fund. So the other part of my question, Chad, had to do with...
Oh, a two-parter. Go ahead, Alma.
Yes, thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
Well, because I've been dying to get the answer to this, because it's very confusing to me. There are a lot of local county commissioners and city officials who sit on these various economic development agencies. And so my question is twofold. Are they entitled to receive, you know, any kind of personal funding, salaries, things like that? And if so, does that fall into their Percy account? Because obviously...
Okay, Alma.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
you know, Alma, here's the thing. I don't have an answer to that question, but I can tell you really, you know, you mentioned some things that seem to be important to you, and that was whether or not, you know, eminent domain could be used for economic development. And basically, you mentioned some things about how in Idaho, basically how we feel about the use of eminent domain. And I think that's very important. You know, in Idaho, I think we pride ourselves on our property rights. We are a property rights state. And so I guess really what you have to ask yourself is, what is the vision for your government, for your elected officials? And you know, is that the use of eminent domain?
Well, I don't have the answer either, Alma. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Have fun in the court today, all right?
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, give us an update. Thank you.
All right, I will. Thanks, Kevin.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
continue on talking about eminent domain. Could it happen in Eagle? 580-5436-580-KIDO. So now these folks at the URA have contacted you?
Well, actually, I worked with the URA along with the Tri-City Meats property, which is next to ours,
right,
on trying to do a development group together because we would own three lots together down there. There's only four lots in that whole entire block. The Rembrandt's Coffee House is on one, which used to be the old Methodist Church, and Tri-City owns the west side, both lots, and then I own the east side where the Rembrandt's is. So anyway, we've been trying to work with the Urban Renewal for 5-6 years already. And, between trying to find a developer and
economic. Well, look, you've been in the crosshairs for quite some time because everybody goes, hey, when's she going to do something with that lot? I mean, I've heard that on the streets for years.
Right. Well, now you're going to get the real story.
All right.
We've owned that property since 1983 and ran our service station out of it for many years. And until we built the new, when everybody changed over from the old garage stations to the convenience stores.
Sure.
We needed more property and needed to add more amenities like the car wash and things like that. So we got a bigger lot and moved down the road. So now we're on the new best corner in town.
Right. I see. So who makes up the Eagle Urban Renewal Agency?
Well, normally it's a... usually a city council is on one membership of the board, and usually a lot of times it's other members of the community.
It's supposed to be like independent.
Right. But our particular Urban Renewal Council has been changed over to be primarily just the city council. So it used to be that independence, and I think there was one or two city council members on it back before 2012 until the current city council took it over.
What does that mean, Chad?
Well, I think it means that for generally all purposes, you're dealing with the city council when you're dealing with the URA. And that could be, that has its own unique challenges. But basically, it's, there is this separation. Supposedly, they're the URA, and then they put on a different hat, and they're the city council. But they are the same members.
Is that a conflict of interest?
I don't think it's necessarily a conflict of interest. I just think that when you appear before the URA or you're doing business with them, you should realize that you're really dealing with the city council.
Now, is this just an Eagle-only issue?
I can't answer that. I really don't know as far as URA.
Let me ask Sandy. You think this is an Eagle-only issue when it comes to eminent domain?
Well, I think the city of Eagle has had two eminent domain cases in the last 2 years. I think that's a problem.
Why do you think they want your property?
I don't know, because we've done everything we said we were going to go do, and we're currently still trying to renovate it and get people in there, and we've got many interested parties. But again, I thought the Urban Renewal was here to help renovate downtown, not take private property away from people.
Is that your fear? They're going to take your property?
Well, I think it's everybody's fear at this point. If they can take mine... a prominent business owner in Eagle for 30 years. Who's next?
Well, when we take a look at this in a broader perspective, and you've said you've tried to talk to them, you've worked with them, and if you were getting somewhere, you wouldn't be here with us.
Maybe.
It just seems to me that from what I'm hearing, and again, we always offer everybody from every side of the story to come on, and we've had folks on from the city council and the mayor and others to come on this program, but it seems to me that whether it's the roundabout or this situation or anything else, there's a disconnect, and we'll be politically correct. We won't say they're out of touch, but we'll just say there's a disconnect here.
Well, that's very polite.
Well, we're a polite show, at least with you folks in here. I think Chad's going to make sure that we stay polite, but, there seems to be a disconnect, whether it's the situation involving you and your property or the roundabout with the city council, the URA, and everybody else here.
I think the city council hasn't gotten what they wanted. They didn't like our answers. They don't appreciate anything that we have done to try to clean up the property. And we've listed it in December. What's the sudden urgency for eminent domain? In the middle of February, we've actually gotten that building painted. It was a nice day. It got done. And I don't know how many other buildings can get painted in the middle of February in Idaho.
In this February, yes.
Yeah.
But so what would you let me ask both of you here, because, again, we're all about solutions. So what would you like to accomplish from being on this program today? Because, you know, everybody's listening that is impacted or could be impacted by this. So right. Talk directly to them, ma'am.
Well, the building sat there, and we have finally gotten things hammered out between the traffic issues and other things that have gone on over the years that have held us from doing anything with that property. We're actively trying to do something with that property, and now yet we have another roadblock. So, you know, people want to know, well, why hasn't anybody done anything with that property? Well, there's lots of issues of why we haven't done anything, and most of it isn't because we haven't wanted to. We're trying to get a business in there now. We're trying to have something going on at that location, which is a fabulous location for any business. I don't care what kind of business you have.
You said it's the second best.
Well, no, I said my other one's the new downtown.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that this isn't a done deal yet, and that's really what you know, one of the reasons why we're happy to be on your program, Kevin. We really appreciate that. And one of the things is this afternoon at 6 o'clock, there will be a public hearing at City Hall on this issue of what's the vision look like for the community. I mean, is this something that the community endorses? Do they want to see eminent domain used in these types of manners? And if they do, then they should come out and say, yeah, hey, we want to see eminent domain. If they're not, if they don't think that that's the appropriate vision for the city, then I would say come out and let your council members know how you feel about the use of eminent domain in the city of Eagle.
That's tonight at 6 o'clock.
That's correct, and that's at City Hall.
All right. Anything else?
It's in your backyard. It's in everybody's property rights to protect their property. And that's just what we're trying to do. And we, like I said, we're trying to be proactive. We're doing everything that anybody would want to see done to that property. But the roadblocks is...
Well, hopefully they're listening and they'll allow you to do some business and bring some business into the city of Eagle. That's really what you want.
Right.
All right. Thank you, folks. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Woo-hoo-hoo. 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett, the manly man segment. And good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, as you know, I have a lot of issues.
Yes, you do.
Remember, we had that great marketing campaign. Kevin Miller has issues.
Still out on some benches out there.
And some people...
It's one by Capital High School I see all the time.
Exactly. Some people's children always goes, oh, look at him. I feel so bad for him that he has issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, do you ever dream about work?
Yep, I do.
Do you?
And then I'd like overtime for it. Thank you.
Yeah, I found myself dreaming a lot. You're in my dreams quite a bit.
Yeah, boy.
The big man, the big boss.
The big boss?
And the big boss. All the bosses are in my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, you know, is that a sign of our commitment to excellence that we dream about work all the time?
Sure it is.
Or is it a symptom that we don't have the proper perspective on things?
I think it might be that you don't have a life.
I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah.
It might be that.
I don't know.
But
I,
you go ahead and go with that excellence.
I
sure.
Exactly. Well, you know, what do we do this morning? Do we do all Bibi Netanyahu all the time? I mean, my goodness. Bibi, Bibi. I like that Bibi, Bibi.
I was trying to find the person's name. I just didn't have a chance. There was a Democrat senator yesterday that stated that he is sick of the Republicans using something like this as a political statement. That's why he walked out.
Well, I think we're all just sick of the Republicans, you know.
Isn't that a political statement walking out, though?
You know, I there's some consistency.
Okay.
But, you know, let's be honest, as opposed to disingenuous, I mean, I think everybody's just sick of the Republicans. They're the worst. They clap for Netanyahu. They pass the DHS bill. Think about your self-esteem if you're an elected Republican. Can you ever win? Poor Mike Simpson is getting bashed for backing his best friend John Boehner.
Yeah.
Man, it's got to be rough to be a Republican.
Yeah, and I saw the latest now that NBC's putting on the Hillary Clinton thing of using the private email. Well, Colin Powell, when he was under Republican President Bush, did the same thing. So now it's the evil Colin Powell and the evil George Bush.
Well, they go back to President Bush.
Yeah. He did the same thing under Republican President George Bush. So there you go. It's just, it was wrong then. It's wrong now. I want to know, the current Secretary of State, what's his name? John what? Does he use a private email? Has anyone asked that?
I don't know if you use a private email at work.
Doesn't matter. I'm not a federal government employee. Yeah, I got one. I got a private email here at work.
You're a town square media towner or a squarer.
I've got a Gmail account, too.
Yeah.
That I use. Well, that comes from the old days when their mailbox wasn't big enough for the, you know, for the audio and video files I have to take.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, of course you don't.
So what about Netanyahu? I was watching the speech yesterday, and you know, you came in and interrupted me. I was glued to Bibi.
Well, I know, but we were supposed to have a scheduled meeting.
Well, in the age of multitasking, I think we should have just left Bibi on.
See, I find it fascinating. You don't want to hold it in my room because I'm distracted.
Bibi.
Don't want to hold it in Ray's room. He's distracted. And then what happens? You're watching TV yesterday. You were distracted.
Well, it was show prep.
Okay.
Anyway,
you can draw that up online and watch it, though.
Yeah, for those of you that missed BB, we do have some of Benjamin Netanyahu. Then we have the president responding. Do you want to hear the president or you want to hear BB?
The president's pretty easy. Nothing new here.
Right. Here's a little BB to start your day.
In the Middle East, Iran now dominates four Arab capitals: Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut, and Sana'a. And if Iran's aggression is left unchecked, more will surely follow. So at a time when many hope that Iran will join the community of nations, Iran is busy gobbling up the nations.
And oh, by the way, we're in Syria, or no, we're in Geneva with the Syrians, with the Iranians, trying to cobble together a new deal.
Nothing new there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said the administration has warned Bibi not to say anything about what the deal is.
Yeah.
He's been told not to spill the beans.
Well, and then you have President Barack Hussein Obama. Is that hip to say that anymore?
Well, it's what his name is. I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Remember when Bill Cunningham got into trouble for saying that at a rally and John McCain bumped him from it?
Yeah.
All right, here he is. BHO. Hey now.
As far as I can tell, there was nothing new. The Prime Minister, I think, appropriately pointed out that the bond between the United States and America is unbreakable. And on that point, I thoroughly agree.
Yeah, that's
as much as he's tried.
That's an overwhelming endorsement there, right?
Oh, yeah.
He seems obsessed with Iran. Let's listen to this.
It may be that Iran cannot say yes to a good deal.
Tomato, tomorrow.
I have repeatedly said that I would rather have no deal than a bad deal.
Mm.
But if we're successful negotiating, then in fact this will be the best deal possible to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
But could it still be a bad
deal?
Nothing
else comes close.
The best deal ever.
It could be a bad deal, though. No, it's the best deal possible.
Right.
It still could be a bad deal. He did now. I mean, that's what he said. He didn't say it'd be a good deal. He said he'd rather have no deal than a bad deal.
Right.
And when we're done with this, it'll be the best deal possible. It still could be a bad deal that we got.
Right.
He didn't say it'd be a good deal. And somehow I guess it,
a lot of wheeling and dealing.
It just makes me a little nervous waiting to see what kind of deal is struck.
Well, I think the guy's resume building, as we've discussed before, by the way. Coming up, General Petraeus cops a plea. Have you heard the details of that?
Part of it. I heard a little bit of it last night.
Yeah.
The president, very happy, felt it was appropriate for him to plead guilty.
Okay, here's Petraeus that is, he pled guilty to giving, like, black books of intel to his mistress.
Yeah.
This biographer, Jill, whatever her name is, who I think Petraeus could have done a little better, just personally. But she's married. He's married. He gives her all this information. She writes it in a book. Then apparently this other woman in Tampa, remember this, that when this broke, the socialite was being threatened by this woman, and that's what led to Petraeus being uncovered, other or that he disagreed with the president, and then all of a sudden the affair came out. Take your pick on that one, but he only gets a misdemeanor and a $40,000 fine for what possibly could have been treasonous acts, giving away intel, operatives, all those things.
What was he thinking?
What was he thinking indeed?
Well, that's, I mean, what was he thinking?
I don't know. What was Bill Clinton thinking? By the way, did you caught that portrait, didn't you?
I did.
Portrait of a blue dress? It's a shadow of
a
dress.
It's a shadow. It could have been a shadow of anything.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Could have been a shadow of anything. I just know I'm glad I'm not waking up to read on Drudge that my company's getting ready to cut 2,000 jobs.
Boy, that's tough.
As in Target. I thought the economy was going good, but Target's about to lay 2,000 employees off.
You know, how does that happen? I was talking to a young man, and you might have met him like 3 or 4 years ago. He's from the East Coast. He came here, and he was involved in the radio business. And it was like a three-hour conversation. And we were talking about this well-known personality out of Chicago who was the next big thing. Was this, that, and the other, had multiple national deals, multiple national TV, and then just boom, it all went away. And then you take a look at Target, which a couple years ago, great ads, great deals, a threat to Walmart, legitimately, and then boom, gone. How does that happen? And now you have 2,000 people that could be, well, that are done. And, you know, it used to be that the radio business, not so much TV, but the radio business was very turbulent, and it still is. And if you wanted a safe job, you got a job maybe in the government, you got a job in retail. Sure, it didn't pay a lot, but, you know, you work a long time, like a lot of people that I know that work at Walmart, and they have 6 weeks vacation. They make a good wage. They're very happy. And they live to for their weekends and days off. And now all of a sudden here you have Target, which at one time, you know, maybe it was the credit scandal that got them. But how do you go from being it to laying off 2,000 people? And perhaps it's because everybody's going online.
Well, I think there's several things. And I'm rapidly trying to search to back up what I'm about to say. I'll just say it anyway. What the heck? Why have I ever let facts get in the way of a good story. I think Target not too long ago boosted their minimum wage that they pay to their employees. They boosted them up. By about $1.50 an hour. I think a cashier, the average Target cashier starts at $9 an hour. As opposed to they were starting them at minimum wage.
Well, you know, we have that whole controversy here in the state of Idaho about minimum wage and everything else, but
not that boosting up the minimum wage would affect jobs.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not tying the two together. I'm just saying. Having been a small business owner, just food for thought.
Well, that's what a lot of people seem to forget, that raising the minimum wage, look, we're all from people making more money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a big person, a small person, whatever, business, you're going to just pass that on to the consumer.
Yeah, it doesn't cost a general manager. It doesn't cost the CEO of finance. It doesn't cost the grand poobahs of the company. It costs the guy who's just trying to make it week to week. That's what it costs. I'm just saying.
So we've got Target going out of business, BB running wild, a Hindu prayer at the State House where three senators walked out. What do you make of that?
You want my feeling?
Yes.
Just stay there and respect the Hindu prayer and go do your business. That's my feeling.
Right?
I'm not offended by it. It doesn't convert me to be a Hindu.
Right.
Just, you know, it's like, okay, I've learned a little something. Next.
Yeah, I wonder what the deal is with that. We'll have to get into that later on today.
I'm sure it's a religious statement, but. You know, am I offended if a Baptist has a prayer? Because I'm not Baptist. Now, right. Mind you, their faith is very similar to mine. But
that's what I was going to say.
But somebody who's LDS, their faith a little different than mine. Am I offended if an LDS person has a prayer? No.
Right.
I'm not. Am I offended if a Catholic has a prayer? Their faith a little different than mine. Mm-hmm. I'm not offended.
Well, you should never be offended by the Catholics.
You know, Hindu, is it different than mine?
Well,
yeah, it's very different.
You're not falling for that one.
No.
Just learn
a little something. Learn a little something to move on. But I thought we'd already done that. I thought they did that a year or two ago. And it caused a big brouhaha when they had somebody come in and give, you know, some sort of a... I mean, if he's a member of ISIS and he's got a headscarf wrapped around with a machine gun, I got issues with that.
Right.
But I don't know if any Hindus have lopped anyone's heads off recently.
No. I we'll have to get into that later. It'll be interesting to see what people have to say about that.
Well, I'm sure they will. And that's good.
By the way, speaking of the economy, we have Mr. Hope, Mr. Growth, Mr. Opportunity, Steve Forbes with us today.
Nice.
You know, it's
been
20 years since I've known Steve Forbes.
How's it working out for you?
Well, how do you like that slogan, hope, growth, and opportunity?
Hope, growth, and opportunity.
Now that was his slogan when he was campaigning for president in 96, and that's how I've known him, followed him for years. But hope, growth, and opportunity. Now, remember, this was pre-Barack Obama, hope and change.
See, should have went with that.
Yeah, but and he was going up against Bob Dole. However, I've always liked that hope, growth, and opportunity. Very positive.
Got to do this. Traffic down.
You never...